For decades now, the family court has been one of the most controversial institutions in Australia. It's also one of the least scrutinised, with strict privacy laws which make it extremely difficult to report on. This week, Background Briefing takes a look at some of the most vexed cases that come before the family court, those alleging child sexual abuse. Background Briefing has been contacted by numerous mothers who claim the court is biased against parents who raise abuse allegations and disbelieving of the children who make them. It's a claim the family court rejects. This is not an easy story to tell. It's an offence to reveal the identities of the family members or the experts involved in these cases, so they've all had to alter some voices. Jess Hill reports.
Lucy was 8 years old when she told her school counsellor that she was being sexually abused by her father. Her disclosure came after a personal development class.
And when they started talking about sexual abuse and where are your no-no zones, it suddenly clicked with me at 8 years old that the things that were happening in my household shouldn't be happening.
Lucy says she hadn't thought to say anything before then, because even though she didn't like it, she didn't know what her father was doing was wrong.
I grew up being told that the things that were happening were part of a special bond between a father and a daughter, and I wasn't supposed to speak about it to anybody else because it would ruin the secret.
Lucy's mother, Tina, had separated from her husband, John, when Lucy was two, after John had become physically and psychologically abusive towards Tina. Lucy had spent regular time with her father for many years after the separation. When the school told Tina about Lucy's disclosure, she went to the family court to try to stop John's access to Lucy. To help it assess Lucy's allegations, the family court asked a child psychiatrist to write a single expert report. This is common in cases involving child sexual abuse. Tina felt sure the expert report writer would convey her daughter's concerns to the court.
This report writer shook our hands, looked my daughter and myself in the eyes, and he said, "We will help you."
But when Tina received the report, she could barely believe what she was reading.
They painted him as gold and made me look like a crazy, psychotic and ludicrous. That's what the words they used.
There was no mention of domestic violence in the expert's analysis, just reference to an unstable relationship that was convoluted and strained. Tina was depicted as anxious, suggestible and overprotective, and possibly suffering from psychosis. The report said Lucy became tearful when, interviewed alone, she talked about her father touching her private parts. When the expert report writer interviewed Lucy alongside her father, he asked her twice if she was worried about her dad touching her in a bad way. Lucy avoided the questions.
It's unnerving. Like, when dad's sitting in the room, you don't want to tell because he's the one that's doing it. And he's sitting there staring at you the whole time, monitoring what you're saying.
Lucy was said to appear very guarded with her father, but in the expert report writer's opinion, that was because she felt pressured by her mother to reject him. The expert report writer concluded this pressure to reject her father was also what led Lucy to make allegations against him. In his recommendations to the judge, the report writer said Lucy should continue to spend regular weekends and half-school holidays with her father, and that the mother should get counselling to help her support the father-daughter relationship. The final recommendation in the expert report also served as a warning.
Because in the report, if we ever mentioned that she was sexually abused ever again and brought it up to the courts, that she would be removed from my care and handed to him permanently, and I would have to seek supervised access and close psychiatric help.
Tina's lawyer told her that with such a strong recommendation against her in the expert report, the family court would likely find in favour of the father. She was advised to just consent to unsupervised access or risk losing custody of Lucy altogether. Tina took her lawyer's advice. It would be years before Lucy mentioned the abuse again.
I didn't really talk about it after that because I didn't want anybody to worry. I shut down and pretended nothing was happening.
Now, these are the sorts of cases where we ought to have very serious concerns about the safety of the child, and where, if any expert says confidently no abuse has occurred, then I question the expertise of the expert.
That's Professor Patrick Parkinson. He's an expert in child protection and former chairperson of the Family Law Council, which advises the government on family law. He says expert report writers can have enormous influence in the family court.
In the last few years, I've noticed more and more cases where the court has been persuaded, usually by an expert report writer, that the abuse hasn't happened. They've switched the care from the mother to the father. And I'm seriously worried about this trend in the cases. It's not what we used to do. We used to put child protection first. And I think it is based upon a certainty about what has occurred, which is not justified by a serious examination of the facts in some of these cases. It may have been in a few cases, but I think it has become all too common. Now, let me say that the court is indebted to the psychiatrists who give evidence in these cases. It relies heavily on them, and many, maybe most, are extremely capable professionals. But actually, psychiatry does not provide necessarily a very good training for identifying whether a six-year-old child has been sexually abused.
It's not the case that the judges always accept those opinions. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
The Family Court's Deputy Chief Justice, John Foulkes.
It's not up to them to make that decision. They can say these things are consistent with something having happened. Typically, for example, if there is an accusation a child has been abused, a report writer might say there was nothing in my observations of the child with the alleged abusing parent which would suggest that this may have occurred. There was no fear, a whole range of things. Now, in some cases that will be influential, in some cases it won't, in other cases it might have a medium influence. It isn't a situation where you can have one size fits all, I'm sorry, it's just not reality.
That's John Foulkes, the Deputy Chief Justice of the Family Court, ending that report by Jess Hill. And you can hear Jess's full report on the Family Court and these difficult issues on Background Briefing this Sunday morning here on RN after the news at 8 o'clock.